If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul writes, he says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. The title of my message this morning is 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. There, we have the glasses up there to show you. Now, 2020 Vision can refer to a lot of things. Of course, this is the year 2020. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. Sounds strange for the first little while, doesn't it? Any new year, but new decade and But it's 2020, and I believe God wants us to have vision for the new year. But 2020 vision also refers to our ability to see. Let's go to that next slide. Anybody ever see that before? I see some folks with glasses like mine, so you know what that is. That's an eye chart. And what those lines are, the red line on the bottom, I'm not sure about the green line, but the red line on the bottom, if you can see the line clearly, directly above that, from the right distance. Now, this is not a do-it-yourself eye test today, okay? But in the doctor's office at the right distance, if you can see that line above the red line and distinguish those letters, you have what's known as 20/20 vision. How many people, as far as you know, have 20/20 vision? Wow, few of you, a handful of you. Most of us don't. Most of you are like me. A person with 20/20 vision can see what an average individual can see on an eye chart when they are standing 20 feet away. And we use the phrase 20/20 vision to basically describe clarity of vision. Now, there are rare individuals who have better than 20/20 vision. Most have... Most people's vision is not that good. But 20/20 vision, we use that to describe someone who's seeing something clearly. And I believe as we are launched into a brand new year, a brand new decade, a brand new period of time, that it's good to make sure that we are seeing things clearly. Now, excuse me, I've said this before. God is not... swayed or controlled by our calendar, okay? A calendar is a device for us to keep track of time, to measure time. God can do something new. God can move any day of the year, at any period, at any time, amen? But there's something, With us, I think, psychologically, really places value on new beginnings. And so we see, whether it's, you know, a new season of the year or a new period in our lives, a new job, a new relationship, something new that takes place, or the turning of the calendar to a new year or a new decade as this is, that somehow, if ever so briefly, instills us all with a sense of hope, with a sense of, hey, this is a new period. This is a new time in my life. I'm turning the corner. I'm saying goodbye to the old. I'm beginning the new and moving forward. You ever have that feeling? Maybe you have it now at the beginning of a new year. And so as we move forward, I want to share with you the importance of having 2020 vision, spiritually speaking, in our lives. No matter what your physical vision is like, I believe it's important to see, spiritually speaking, to be able to see clearly what's going on in our lives and what God is doing. So for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what does it take to have 2020 vision in our lives? And by that I mean, what does it take to see clearly what we need to see? What does it take to have 2020 vision in our lives? The first thing it takes to have 2020 vision is it takes 2020 hindsight. 2020 hindsight. Paul talks in verses 4 through 6 about some of his background, some of his past, the BC period of his life, the before Christ period of his life. He says, I'm going to do a little boasting. If anyone has reasons to put confidence in the flesh or to brag, in other words, about their human accomplishments, he said, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, that may not mean much to you and me, but that was very important in Paul's background. Of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. That meant he was zealous for keeping the law as he understood it. As for zeal, persecuting the church, we know that was his background because his understanding at that time was that the Christian church was a sect, was not of God. And so in his zeal, as a follower of God, he was doing all he could to persecute believers. He says, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul followed the law in every aspect. He said, that was my background. But he was not so rooted in the past that he failed to recognize the relative insignificance of those boasts compared to Jesus. His hindsight was 20/20, and he saw clearly from whence he came to where he was at that moment. Now, there's a saying, there's a cliche that we hear and we use sometimes. Hindsight is 20/20. Don't we say that? What we mean by that, of course, is that we can understand things a bit more clearly looking back on them than we may have at the time. Well, I think there's some truth to that. I don't think every time we look at the past, we grasp the significance of it. I don't know if 2020, or rather, if hindsight is always 2020. But there's another saying that I think has a little more weight to it, a little more validity. It's this: those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. You heard that one. Paul understood his past. And like Paul, we need to be able to look back. Not to dwell on the past, not to focus on the past, not to live in the past. You ever know someone who lives in the past? And all when you talk to them, it just seems like they always have something from the past and their focus is in the past, and you can just hear it in their voice. Boy, they wish for the good old days. How many know sometimes our memories of the past are a little rosier than they really were? How many know the good old days weren't always so good? But Paul had an honest assessment of his past, an honest look at his past. And when we look back at the past, and by past, I mean, you know, all of the past, not only the distant past, not only years ago, decades ago, not only way back in 2010. We used to think 2010 was recent, but that's 10 years ago, right? But I mean the recent past. I mean 2019, you know? I mean every part of the past. I mean up to yesterday. I mean up to 5 minutes ago. That's part of the past. And Paul was able to look at the past, and we need to be able to have 20/20 hindsight. That is, to grasp the truth of the past. You know, when you drive, you need to be able, you have this mirror in the front on your windshield called rear view mirror, and you have two on the side called side view mirrors, don't you? And they serve a function, especially if you're changing lanes. You know, there's a blind spot, and so you have to look in that mirror, but you also have to glance back in the direction of the lane you're going to cover your blind spot, make sure no one's coming. And you know, if we're a little absent-minded and don't do that, we could have some problems. So it's important to look at the past. But how many know if you spend all your time looking where you came from, you're going to be in trouble where you're going? But a glance at the past, 2020 hindsight. The point is, we need to learn from the past. We need to take the good from the past. A NASA executive was assigned to prepare a presentation on lessons learned from the bad experiences with the Hubble Space Telescope. You ever hear of the Hubble Telescope? That was a giant multi-million dollar device created, sent out into space, and it had trouble from the very beginning. It seemed like it never worked right, and it was one big mess. And so this NASA executive was preparing a presentation. And on his chart at the briefing, he said lesson number one from the history of the Hubble telescope was this. He said, in naming your mission, never use a word that rhymes with trouble. That was a lesson learned, okay? Heard another story in a positive vein about one's past. A boy about 11 years old was adopted and taken out of a pitiful homeless situation. He came into his new home in ragged, dirty clothing. After being cleaned up and shown love and affection, he put those old, dirty, ragged clothes under the mattress of his new bed. One day, his new mother came into his room and saw him holding these old, ragged clothes, and he was weeping. She asked him, Bobby, why do you still have those old clothes, and why are you crying so much? He said, I just kept them to remind me because I don't want to forget what you did for me when I wore them. He had the hindsight to appreciate where he had come from and where he had been brought from to his present state. You see, we need to look back occasionally. We need to have 20/20 hindsight because we need to, first of all, see the mistakes that we made and remember the lessons that they taught us. You know, I tell people when they work for me, when they come on my staff, I tell them, I say, I don't mind you making mistakes. You know, I would have a real bad time being very upset at people if they made a mistake here and there, because number one, I make mistakes. I know that shocks many of you this morning, but it's true. And so I tell them, I don't mind if you make mistakes. What I do mind is this, if you make the same types of mistakes over and over again. You understand? Because if we make the same types of mistakes over and over again, that means we haven't learned from the mistakes we made before. So I tell them, I want you to learn from your mistakes. Don't make that type of mistake again. Make a new type of mistake because you're trying something new. But don't keep repeating the same types of mistakes. And that's what often happens, isn't it? We wonder sometimes why we're in the same old rut, why we're in the same old place in life, why things, we just can't seem to get it together, why we can't move forward in our life. And it's because we fail to have 20/20 hindsight and look back and notice the mistakes that we made and make an honest assessment of some of our actions in the past and learn. And what's so hard about just saying this, "Hey, I blew it"? You ever say that? Because let me tell you, without knowing every detail of your past, I feel pretty safe in saying for everyone who's here today, myself included, there are times when you've blown it. No offense. Because that's what we do. We all blow it. We all mistake. And sometimes we all make mistakes, and sometimes it's our pride that keeps us from recognizing or owning up to the fact, "Hey, I blew it. I totally went off the rails there." But you see, when we can have the humility to say, "Hey, I made a mistake. Hey, I did something wrong. Hey, I blew it," we can learn from that. That's called 20/20 hindsight. We can remember where the Lord found us. I hope that none of us ever forget about our period, like Paul, our BC period before Christ. Do you remember what that was like? Oh, I know we don't like to dwell on it. I know we don't like to focus on it, but we should never, ever forget where he brought us from. Aren't you glad he took you out of the state you were in before you came to Christ? I know I am. And so we should remember what he's brought us from, what he's forgiven us from. We should remember the blessings that he's bestowed on us. Sometimes when things go wrong, we have little pity parties for ourselves, don't we? You ever throw out a pity party, and nobody comes? Right? When you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you just kind of share a little bit with somebody, and they don't take the bait, they don't pat you on the back. "Oh, poor little you." And they, you know, they don't scratch that itch. You want to just give them the left foot of fellowship, you know? You know, we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. You know what we need to do? We need to look back and thank God for his blessings. Thank God for all he's done for us. Thank God for the trials he's brought us through. The Lord brought anybody through any trials? Can you look back and say, "The Lord's been faithful. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord's been better to me than I was to myself." Amen. The Lord has been faithful. The Lord has been good to me, and I want to remember what he's done for me. It's a good thing to have 20/20 hindsight and look back and say, "Lord, you've blessed me. Lord, you made a way when there was no way. Lord, you brought me through the valley. Lord, you brought me through the trial. Lord, when I thought there was no escape, you provided a way of escape. Hallelujah. Lord, when the cupboard was bare, you filled it. Hallelujah. When the bank account was empty, Lord, you poured your blessings into me. Lord, you've been good to me." Next time you're tempted to have a pity party, look back with some 20/20 hindsight and thank God for his many blessings that he's brought your way. We need 20/20 hindsight so we can have something to stir us up, to make better choices, to get involved in better relationships, to have a stronger faith, to act with better behavior, to serve God better and to serve his church. How about you? You ever take a look back? Oh, not to dwell. Maybe a brief look, like looking at that blind spot while you're driving, but look back sometime and remember what God has done for you. Remember where he brought you from. Remember the mistakes you've made and the lessons that hopefully you've learned, and allow that to minister to you. In order to have 20/20 vision for 2020, we need to first of all have 20/20 hindsight. Amen? What's the second thing we need to have 20/20 vision for our lives? We have to have 20/20 insight. 20/20 insight. In verse 7, Paul says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now," that's a key word, "now, consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Paul is saying this. He is saying everything of value to me, every achievement, every earthly accomplishment, Everything that meant anything to me in my past life, I now consider worthless. We need to let that sink in a little bit. Imagine giving your life to something. Imagine devoting all your energies, all your waking hours to some pursuit, some endeavor, and then after a long period of time, looking back on it and saying, you know what? When I look at it with insight today, when I look at it now, it was worthless. I gave that period of my life to nothing. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, because since I found Christ, I realize that anything in my past, anything before Christ, anything other than pursuing Christ with my whole heart and my whole being is absolutely worthless. He had insight as to what to forget and what to remember, what to hold on to and what to let go of. He saw what was most important in his life, and that informed him of the choices that he needs to make. So many of the mistakes we make are because we're just not thinking clearly. And I love what the scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 5. This is from the New American Standard Bible. That translation says this: if any of you lacks insight, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. A lot of the struggles we go through and a lot of the choices we make that don't turn out so well are because we're not often thinking clearly. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how we think. You ever interact with someone and maybe on more than one occasion and you walk away just shaking your head saying, you know, so-and-so is a nice guy, but I just don't understand how he thinks. Or, you know, so-and-so is a nice lady, but man, I don't know what the thought process is. You ever know someone like that? Don't look around the room. Yeah, you know, and or if we're honest, we say that about ourselves. What was I thinking? You ever say that about yourself? Sure you have. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking clearly. God is very concerned about what we think, how we think, and what goes into our thought process. And Paul had the insight to see clearly things that mattered. Listen to what he says. He says, I consider them, meaning his past accomplishments, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So Paul says, all my past ideas about what righteousness is, and righteousness means being in right standing with God, being right with God. He says, all my past ideas about what was right have been turned on their head. I want the righteousness of Christ. Then he says, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. He says, in contrast to what I thought was important in my past life, what is of supreme importance to me right now is to know Christ and to experience as much of Christ as I can, to share in his sufferings, and to know the power that raised him from the dead. Paul said, this is now what is the focus of my life. Paul said, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing things clearly. God help all of us to see things as clearly as Paul did when he wrote this. Amen? There's a story about a very proud young man who came to a rabbi well known for his wisdom and understanding. He walked up to the rabbi and rather pompously said, "Oh, great teacher, I come to you for insight." Well, this rabbi was pretty sharp. He knew a numbskull when he saw one. So he led the young man through the streets to the sea until he was chest deep into the water. And he put his strong hands on the young man's shoulders and he pushed him under. Held him there for 30 seconds. 30 seconds later, he led him up. He said to him, "What do you want?" "Insight," the young man sputtered. Oh, great and wise rabbi. The rabbi pushed him under again. 30 seconds passed, 35, 40. Finally, he led him up again. What do you want, young man? The rabbi asked. Between heavy breathing and wheezing, the fellow gasped, "Insight, oh wise and wonderful rabbi." The rabbi pushed him under again. 40 seconds, 50, a full minute passed before he let him up for air. What do you want now, young man? Air, the young man said, "I want air." The rabbi said, "When you want insight as much as you have just wanted air, then you will have insight." Wisdom comes to those who seek it. Insight comes to those who see it. And if you find yourself in a place where you just can't get it together, you need to pray to God and say, "God, give me insight. Give me wisdom. Help me to see things clearly. Lord, help me distinguish what's important. Help me distinguish what's important from what's unimportant." We focus so much on the unimportant things in life, don't we? Don't we? On things that ultimately don't matter. Lord, give me insight. Give me wisdom. Help me to see clearly what you want me to see. Lord, give us insight into our lives. If you're here today and you just can't get it together. None of us are perfect, I know that. But you're here and you just feel like you're treading water. You feel like you're not moving forward. I pray and ask, say, "God, give me wisdom. Give me insight." And here's one thing we need to watch for. God doesn't always give us wisdom or insight by sending a lightning bolt from heaven. Or by handwriting on a wall. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sometimes he uses people, right? Sometimes he'll speak a word of wisdom, a word of insight through other people. And if we are full of pride, we often won't receive the insight or the wisdom that God sends to us through other people. How about you this morning? Are you willing to allow God to speak to you in any way he chooses? Are you willing to allow him to use people to help you to see clearly what you need to see? God wants to give you insight. In order to have 20/20 vision, we need to have 20/20 hindsight, be able to look clearly at the past, 20/20 insight in the present. And thirdly, it takes to have 20/20 vision, it takes 20/20 foresight. Paul learned from the past, and he kept his values and conduct straight in the present and lived each day with a hope for the future. Look at what he says in verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Okay, now he just said he looked at the past, right? But he's not dwelling on it. He's forgetting it in the sense he's not dwelling on it. Forgetting, he's not being held prisoner by it. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said this, I'm going to look at the past, but I'm not going to dwell in the past. I'm not going to be held prisoner by the past. I am going to move forward. God is a God of forward things. God is a God of new things. That's why I say 2020 is going to be the best year ever, because God is a God who wants to do more. Do you believe that? Turn to somebody and say, "God wants to do more." Say this. I know it's not great English, but say it anyway. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hell, amen. Some of you English scholars are probably cringing, but that's okay. God wants to do more. God is a God of the future. God is a God of moving forward. And Paul says, "I'm forgetting what is past," and he uses athletic imagery, imagery of the marathon runner. He says, "I'm straining, I'm pressing forward to move forward for what God has for me." God has something great for you in 2020. I believe it. Are you ready to embrace it? Are you ready to receive it? Paul had his eyes fixed on the prize. He had his eye fixed on the future. I've always told my kids, since they were old enough to start working, you can't start too early planning for retirement. Now, that's a hard sell for someone in their 20s, you know, especially with the struggles in today's economy. You read the statistics, very few people have are on track to have a comfortable retirement. And the majority, I don't have the exact statistics, but majority of people in America, people are working longer because they have less saved than they need for retirement. And that's just the fact. So I always told my kids, you can never start too early. And they've listened to me, I believe. You can never start too early planning, putting something away, planning for your retirement. That is called foresight. That is being engaged in the present, but also looking toward the future. And what's true for retirement income is even more true when it comes to spiritual things. Have you asked yourself this? We've just begun a brand new year. At the dawn of 2021, where would you like to be? What would you like your life to look like 1 year from now? Or 5 years from now, 2025? Or 10 years from now, 2030, what would you like your life to look like? What would you like to be doing for God? What ministry would you like to be involved in? What lives do you see yourself touching for the kingdom of God? Paul said, I'm straining to go forward. Paul was always thinking about the next city, the next ministry, the next task, the next endeavor for God. You can't start planning too early for your spiritual future. Years ago in our Potomac Ministry Network here of the Assemblies of God, of which we're part of in this region, there was a theme that we had for several years, and it was this. It was forming the future today. Forming the future. We are forming our future today. We are becoming today what we will be tomorrow. How many know none of us are the finished product? How many know that? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how refined you think you are spiritually. None of us are the finished product. God is still at work in us. God is still molding us and making us and sculpting us into what he wants us to be. Amen? Do we believe that? So the extent to which we submit to him, we allow him to form his character in us, we allow him to make of us what we will, the extent we allow that today will determine how much we become like him in the future and how much we accomplish the purpose he has for our lives. You are being, your future is being formed today. Foresight, 2020 foresight. 2020 vision. My prayer for each of us in this brand new year, this brand new decade. I know some scholars disagree as to when the decade starts, 2020 or 2021, but it's the 20s, so we're going to say it's starting now, okay? As we start this new period of life, are you seeing clearly? Are you seeing clearly? What do you have to do to have 2020 vision? You have to have 2020 hindsight. What's in your past? God can take care of all the things that haunt you in your past. If you allow yourself to learn from your mistakes, to be blessed by God's goodness in your life, you can benefit from 2020 hindsight. You can learn the lessons that you're supposed to learn, and I can learn the lessons I'm supposed to learn from the past. We need to have 2020 insight. What's troubling you today? What is it that you're not seeing clearly? What is it that you need wisdom and insight from God about? God will give it to you. You need to pray and say, Lord, help me to see clearly. Lord, this problem that I just don't see any way out of, Lord, help me to see it clearly. Help me to understand clearly what you have for me. And then we need 2024 sight. What is your concern or desire for tomorrow? Where do you see yourself tomorrow in the future? A year, 5 years, 10 years from now. God is forming you, your future today, if you and I will allow him to do that. How many know this morning we can trust God with our future? He's a faithful God. He's a good God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And he has a future for you. God wants to blow your mind. God wants to do things that you cannot even conceive of if you'll allow him to do it. And what we need to do that, is to trust him. Say, Lord, I thank you for my past, good and bad. Help me to learn from it and see it clearly. Lord, help me to deal with the problems and the challenges and difficulties of today. Give me insight. And Lord, I turn my future over to you. Form in me the future person you want me to be. And Lord, I trust you with my future. And Lord, help me to see clearly the path, the next thing that you have for me, because Lord, I know you always have more for me.